Guys, we love you. I mean, I just get right to the root of it. We love you guys. Amen. I just want to make a short introduction. My name is Stan. We're going to go by first names because, hey, you know, our last name is Christians. Okay. This is my wife, Linda, right here. Next to her is Dick. Next to Dick is Aaron. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed you, Paul. I didn't see you. That's Paul with his hand up. It's not the Apostle Paul, okay? Then Aaron. I like these biblical names. Then you have Ray. And then dressed in black, I mean, this guy, you know, his name is Kristen. And then you have on the end, Carol. And the guy next to me, his name's Brian. You know, we can actually start a fight on this stage because we're actually so close. We're very good friends. They're chuckling, but they know it's true. And so I tell you what, I want you guys to pay attention to this story because it has a lot to do with what's on my heart for the last, 12 years or so. But he's going to unpack it. Brian Futner.
All right. Thank you. Great testimonies, right? That was awesome.
How's that?
Can you hear me now? Okay. Great testimonies, right? We all have them, right? Every single one of us got a testimony of what Jesus has done for us, right? Awesome. I have a testimony too, but God's called me to do something a little bit different today, so I want to tell you kind of a story. So can y'all let me tell that story? Is that all right? I promise you it's a good story because it's a true story, and it's a God story, even better than anything. About 20 years ago, somewhere in there, I was filled with anger, bitterness, alcohol, selfishness, you name it all. Everything that was on these posters or cardboards was pretty much me. I was a mess. But Jesus came, and he changed my life. And I thank him for that every day. It's awesome to be a child of God. That's only the beginning of the story. It goes so much more added to that. From that day that I gave my life to Christ, I knew that he had a plan for me. And he has a plan for all of us. But the plan he had for me was to tell people about Jesus Christ. I knew that from the day I was saved. But you know what? I didn't do it. It scared me. I didn't know how. And the thought of it, going up to somebody and telling somebody that Jesus loved them or Jesus died for them, petrified me. So, I didn't do it. But I knew in my heart that God was still wanting me to do that. And as time passed, it didn't go away. It only grew deeper in my heart. And I knew he's being patient with me. He was giving me grace. And eventually, in his timing, he was going to bring it all together. So I ended up at a Calvary Chapel after I got saved. I wasn't saved at Calvary Chapel, but I ended up there after a few years where Pastor Randy was. And early on, they made an announcement on a Sunday morning that if anybody wanted to go out in the neighborhood, knocking on doors, sharing the gospel, just come back after service was over, and somebody would be here to take you out. Well, you know what? All that reminded me of was that what God wanted to do in my life. And I thought about it. I wanted to go. But you know what? I still was serving another God. It was football. You know, it was about this time of year. Nice weather out. Cooling down a little bit. So I didn't go. Instead, I went home. Turned on the TV. Started watching football, laying on the couch. But at my house, the TV was right here, and right next to it was the door, front door, which was open because the weather was nice and wind was blowing in. It was just beautiful. So I'm kicking back, just enjoying myself, watching football, and I happened to glance. I see something come across the door, and I looked. Guess who I saw? Your pastor. Pastor Randy was coming knocking on my door. And I tell you what, I shot up off the couch, a little bit ashamed. Didn't want him to see what I was doing because I knew God wanted me there to go out with him that day. So I learned a little bit of a lesson. I think God was working. And I think you'll see through this whole story, God is working and moving and doing in us, in all of us. It's not just what he's doing in this ministry or the two ministries that Pastor Randy had talked about. He's doing more. It's not the end. It's just the beginning. And that's where I'm going to end up going with this story. But before we get there, from that point on, I started getting involved. I started going, coming out on Sunday afternoons, going knocking on doors. And I got to be careful how I say this. I didn't go out with Randy, Pastor Randy. He said that before. I didn't go out with him. We together went out knocking on doors together. My words always trip me up. So I got to be real careful around what I say. But as Stan had talked about, and Stan was the nice, good-looking guy that was up here just a minute ago. I told him I was going to blow his mind because everybody's probably fainting because we do have a very special relationship. But we have the same heart, evangelism, just like your pastor does. And he poured his life into us. And we both have absorbed what was going on there at our church. And moving forward a little bit, that got me started going door to door, but it led to a ministry called Ministers of Reconciliation, and we called it MOR for short, where it was a corporate type of a setting of sharing the gospel. And Stan and I both were in that ministry, serving God, evangelizing, but in a series of events. I don't want to jump ahead. Stan had come to me one day and said that he felt like God was putting in his heart to start a street ministry, a little bit different evangelism, but it's all evangelism. So I was like, great, man, that's awesome. You need to do it. It's like, I can't do it. I'm busy doing this, but I think you need to step out. If God's put it on your heart, you need to do it. So he went to our pastor, Pastor Ron Hint in Houston. I do want to thank him because all this is all fruit of our pastor back in Houston. So amen. So he went to Pastor Ron, talked to him, said, go, let's do it. So a street ministry was birthed from that point. Two different ministries, two different evangelistic ministries were going on here. And the story, the one to get to, is how God moved in both of our hearts and did different things. Through events, I ended up stepping down out of that Ministers of Reconciliation, the MOR group, and somebody else took it over and ran with it. From that point on, I kind of went through a very deep time in my life. Someone might call me a backslider, maybe, probably fit. But God was good. God was working in that. God was being patient with me again. And he brought back around. And I ended up going street witnessing with the Acts 2 ministry. And again, that's where I knew God wanted to use me. That's what he had put in my heart that day that I was saved. So I got involved. And at that point, God was working differently. He was moving Stan's heart a little different, away from a street evangelism. And that was the beginning of it. And I remember going to Stan. It's like, how about more street ministry? And he says, yeah, that's good. But I think God's doing something different. So jumping ahead a little bit, probably about a year or two, that seed that God had planted in my heart way back was still there. It was still growing. And one day, one Sunday morning, as I was sitting in my church, I have no idea what my pastor's teaching on. I had no idea what the passage was, but I know God was speaking. He was speaking right into my heart. And I knew I couldn't deny it. So after the service is over, I went out into our lobby and I gathered about 8 or 10 close friends of mine that I knew had a gift of evangelism. And I said, can y'all pray with me? I need something going on here. I need some prayer. So they did. So we gathered together. We all prayed. They all prayed together. After it was over with, went upstairs where our offices were. And I said, I need to talk to Pastor Robert that was on staff at that time. I need to talk to you. And I shared what God had done in my heart. And that was street ministry, one-on-one evangelism with people, which, you know, as you're looking at all this, you're seeing that Acts 2 started off that way and evolved into something else. But that's okay, because God had a plan. He had a plan to use a different ministry and birth a different ministry called Foot Soldiers Ministry. And that's what he placed on my heart, to share the gospel one-on-one with people. And I knew that's what he wanted me to do from the very beginning. And just the story is how I wanted to put it, is I started off doing the MOR, which is a corporate type of evangelism, and Stan was over here doing street witnessing, which neither one of us, I mean, not that that wasn't our gifts, because I think evangelism is our gifts, but he had a whole different plan. So God moved me over here to street evangelism, and then he moved Stan over here to corporate evangelism. And that's where we are today. But it's all important. It's all evangelism. It's all about getting the word of God out. So where do we go from here? That's kind of the story. We can see God moving and doing and working and all this. Well, the reason I'm here and the reason I think God has sent me and what I've been praying about is I know what's going on here. It is amazing to see what is happening here at Harvest Bible Church. I am blown away. We love Pastor Randy, and we want to take him back, but I can't, because I know y'all probably would beat me up, because I've already heard every one of y'all say that you ain't going to. But I understand why he's here. You're here because of him. And God's using y'all. God's using him, using everybody. Y'all are a light in this valley, and it's awesome to come and see and people growing and being fed the word of God. And to be able to come and be a part of it, just blowing my mind. I love it. I love what's going on here. I understand why God sent him out here. You know, we love him. But he was very fruitful back in Houston, but God had different plans for him. So with that said, you know, that's the reason I'm here, and that's the reason I've come. I want to share with you, I believe through prayer that God is ready to do a work here. And he is. But I'm talking about in the hearts of a ministry. I believe God has either placed it in your heart, somebody here in your hearts, or is going to. Just like me, I knew when I was saved, born again, that he wanted to use me in evangelism. And I believe he wants to do that same work here. I don't know who it is. It doesn't matter. You know. Hopefully you know. Maybe not. Maybe today is the first day that you're going to know that God wants to use you in a special way. But I want to encourage you. Don't neglect the gift that God's given you. Use it. It's important. I mean, it's part of the work of God. Yeah, he will. I mean, if you're neglecting it, he will be patient with you. But he wants to do a good work here. And he is. There's so much more. There is so much more that needs to be done. And he wants to use us. Every single one of us. Not just a few of us, but every single one of us. So, that's my story. That's a pretty good story. Y'all like it? Yeah? All right. Cool. Awesome. We're going to be here after the service eating with y'all. Come and talk to us. Spend some time with us. You know, if there's something we can pray for you about, is there something that you know is going on in your heart you want to talk to us about, we're all here for that. Come on up. I'm going to go ahead and say a prayer for us, and then we're going to get into Pastor Randy's message. So pray with me if you will. Lord, my God, we come before you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, my God, for the Holy Spirit that you have given to us, Lord, to empower us, Lord, to do your will, God, because we can't do it alone. We are completely powerless without you, Lord God. But we know because of that relationship with a loving God that you've empowered us through the Holy Spirit, Lord, to do your will, Lord God, and to be fed as we come in here, Lord. We are fed the word of God, but we're not to hoard it. We're supposed to go. We're supposed to take it to a dying world that needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. So be with us this day, Lord. Help us, God, to just glean from your word today, Lord, as your word is taught, that we would take it in, but not hold it in, but get it out, Lord God. So we're just blown away with what you're doing, Lord. So thankful for what you're doing here in the valley, Lord. May your work continue until you come back, Lord God. To you be the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Wow, scared me.
I scared him. Thanks. I love you, man. That was awesome. You know, we had the harvest celebration yesterday, and I'm glad he didn't share the story because I get to share it. They were doing evangelism yesterday, and Brian witnessed to some young girls. They were like, I don't know what, 12, 14? Yeah, there's three of them. And they accepted the Lord, and they asked for a Bible, and he gave it to them, and they left. And about 30 minutes, they came back, and the girl says, can you show me where all the stuff you were saying was? Wow. That, yeah. Glory to God. That's some gifted evangelism right there. I'll tell you, that's amazing. By the way, they are going to be sharing a class after our fellowship, fellowship feast, on how to witness to Muslims. And so if you've ever wondered, hey, you know, I'd like to be able to know how to do that. Well, three of them or two of them, they're going to share a class on how to be effective in sharing your faith with the Muslim in a loving way. Of course, we always want to lace it with love. So anyways, if you would now open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. If you need a Bible, the ushers will get one in your hand. I've entitled my message, Now is the Time. Ephesians 5, verse 16 through 18. Now, I have to ask, how many of you believe we are living in the last days? Great. How many of, here you go. How many of you believe we're living in the last days? Okay, two of you. Awesome. Okay. Well, I've got news for you. Did you know that even atheists believe we are living in the last days? I've got a video for you if we can cue that up. Watch this. These are atheists, by the way.
Well, the doomsday clock, an ominous symbol of apparent dangers facing the world, is now 2 minutes closer to doom. It's now at 11:57.
That's according to a group of prominent atomic scientists. They look at worldwide perils, specifically nuclear threats and climate change. Basically, the closer to midnight, the closer the world is to destruction.
Based on their observations, the members of the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists Science and Security Board find conditions in the world to be so threatening that they are moving the hands of the doomsday clock 2 minutes closer to midnight. It is now 3 minutes to midnight. Today, unchecked climate change and a nuclear arms race resulting from modernization of huge arsenals pose extraordinary and undeniable threats to the continued existence of humanity. And world leaders have failed to act with the speed or on the scale required to protect citizens from potential catastrophe. We can manage our technology or become victims of it. The choice is ours, and the clock is ticking. But as long as there are nuclear weapons in the world, the most destructive and powerful technology in the world, as long as there are these weapons and they're poised, ready to use, as they are now, in minutes, we still need to warn the world about the dangers from these. And we need to warn the world about the dangerous choices we make on a number of technologies. We're seeing the planet, the earth-altering effects of climate change. Again, humans, our own technologies.
All right, that's good. Thank you. I hear a phone. Well, here's the thing. Rather than talk about why we know we are living in the last days, I'd rather talk about what should we do? How should we respond? Because as I've often said, listen, you and I, we can read books about prayer or we can pray. I'd rather pray than read books about it. Now, I'm not saying don't. There are some great books, Ian Bounds, 5 volumes of excellent. But if you're not praying and just reading about it, if we're walking around talking about the reason why we know it's the last days, but doing nothing about it, what a waste of time. And how silly is that? And that's what we're going to explore here. So if you would open, like I said, to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. And it says, redeem the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Father, we just pray right now that you would fill us with your Spirit, because outside of you, Holy Spirit, we cannot comprehend or grasp or even be moved by your word. And so, Father, remove the scales from our eyes and our ears and make our hearts pliable so that we can hear. Father, we so desperately in these last and evil days need to have a clear hearing of your word and of your love. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now is the time, brothers and sisters, it is absolutely time. So verse 16, it says, redeeming the time. Redeeming. You ever known someone who takes aluminum cans or plastic bottles and they go what? They redeem them. In other words, they go and get what the value is for those cans and those bottles. Now, here's the thing. Time can be very, very valuable, or it can be a waste. It can be useless. But what I think we fail to realize is that time is a limited resource. Is there any of you here who are able to manipulate or control time? Anyone? Oh, good. I was going to be worried about you if you did. But we, by the way, don't we have weird ideas about time? How about this? You ever think about, we have FaceTime. What is FaceTime? How about this? I need some me time. Me time? Or how about this? I don't have time. You don't have time? I'm trying to make time. What, you have a recipe? Oh, I'm trying to find time. What is it, lost? You just, oh, hey, everyone, I found some time. You want some? Need some? How about this? I'm living on borrowed time. Oh, yeah, what's the interest rate? I need some downtime? That's kind of scary sounding. I don't know. But we all have time in this world. We really do. The problem is time out. We are out of time. We need to make a decision. And here's the thing, brothers and sisters. We do make decisions about time. We do. We assess the 24-hour day, and we schedule according to the measure of our human life. Sad. Because the Bible says to redeem the time. It's more true than you can imagine that we need to redeem the time. Why? Because all of time is about God. It really is. It's His time. He created it. Did not God create time? And is not God outside of time? So it's all His. That's why, for instance, you've heard this before. History. It's His story. Because it's His time. But the problem is, and you know this, time waits for no one. Yesterday will never come back. And so we have to say, all right, I get it. God has allotted a certain amount of time to me and a certain amount of time to you. And one day I'll be out of time and you'll be out of time. Game over. Clock your ticket. The problem is, what is the wage for the time that you've been putting on your ticket? You see, God allotted time, but the idea behind time was for us to seek Him, for us to fellowship with Him, for us to pray to Him, for us to worship Him. But what do we do? What do we do with our time? We use human reason and, by the way, our own selfishness to determine how we're going to use our time. Most of the time, unfortunately, as humans, we waste it. We spend it on what we find most valuable, me, right? It's all about me. It's not about you. It's about me. Well, check this out. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Joshua 24, 15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Everybody's going to serve somebody. Whether the gods which your father serves that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorite in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. serve the Lord. That means give my time to God, redeeming the time and giving it some value. Listen, before I was saved, I didn't go to church because it was my time. I don't want to give my time for him or for you or for anybody. Then I got saved. And guess what? God started to get an hour or two on a Sunday because I got saved. And then I fell in love with the Lord. And then he got my Wednesday. And then he got my service as I fell more in love with the Lord. See, time belongs to him. He created it. He's outside of it. It belongs to him. He gave it. And by the way, one day he's going to say, guess what, Randy? You're out of time. I've given you the time. Now what we're going to do is we're going to assess, what did you do with the time that I gave you? It's his time. And by the way, you say, but man, there's so many things I want to do. Do you realize that you can't outgive God? And I'm not talking about your tithe. I'm talking about your time and your treasure and your talents, all of it. But if he gave you the time and it's from him and the time you have belongs from him and he will determine when it's over, shouldn't it be to honor him? You know, it's interesting. There have been times that I've been working on my car, and I don't do that very often. But I remember like one particular time, my son and I, we were working on my car and we could not get it to work. We could not fix it. We spent time. We were getting frustrated. We said, let's go get a sandwich. And then we came back and my son said, hey, you know what? We didn't pray. I go, you're right. And we prayed and voila, it was done that fast. We gave God a little bit of time and he gave us so much more. Had we done it in the beginning, we would have had more time for other stuff. It's his time. He gave it to you. What you have is from him. But we are selfish with our time. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. If you want to turn there, that'd be great. If not, jot it down. Make sure you write it down. Make sure you check and see if what I'm sharing with you is accurate. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for your good pleasure. Wow, some of you are like, what? Let's try that again. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for your good pleasure. Whose good pleasure? His. His. Your life was God's idea. There was one moment in time when God said, I'm going to bring Randy to life. And he put me inside my poor little mama's belly. And this big old watermelon head, she had to deal with that. Pray for her. But you're alive because God decided to start the clock ticking in your life. He gave you life. He gave you the time. And there's a day he has allotted for that time to end. And you will make it count. What is it going to be said about you? Well done, good and faithful servant? Or boy, did you waste your time. We all have things. Golf, fishing, shopping, hobbies. How about 1 Corinthians 15:10? 1 Corinthians 15 says this, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Doot, doot. No, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not in vain. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me. In other words, listen, the things that I gave to the Lord was not for me, it was him, and I worked hard. Why? Because I recognize that everything that I have is from him. For his good pleasure, to give value. How about one more? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 says this, he predestined us for adoption as his son through Jesus Christ according to his according to the good pleasure of his will. He predestined. You know what that means? Before you were born, God was there and he decided to bring you into this life. He predestined you. He has a plan for you. All those cardboard testimonies was where these awesome brothers and sisters were one way, and then they came to know God and it changed everything, and now their time is spent differently because their eyes have been opened up to the truth, and that is that all time belongs to God because He gave it, and we're to give it back in proportion to how much we love Him. Now, maybe you're here today and God doesn't get much of your time. Well, guess what? Now is the time to make a change. And you can. Why? Look at verse 16. Redeem the time. In other words, give value to the time that you have. Because the days are what? You know, first service, they were so alert. And they got up earlier. Let's try that again. Redeem the time because the days are? Oh, there you go. Hello. Hebrews chapter 12. And what's interesting is Paul Wright and I were driving and he quoted this verse. And I said, man, it's the verse that's on my heart regarding today's study, or one of the verses. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Listen, around us are a bunch of witnesses. And what do witnesses do? They make accusations. You ever feel accused by those who are around you? Right? When you become a Christian, all of a sudden everyone who's not a Christian watches your very steps so they can be witnesses against you. Now, here's what we need to do. We need to take this cloud of witnesses and let them witness Christ and what He looks like. So he says this, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that was set before us. Lay aside those things that slow you down, those weights, so that you can redeem the time. If you try and run with a lot of weight, you get tuckered out really quickly. Trust me, I know. Looking, it continues verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is the author. He began our faith and He will finish our faith. But we have to choose to give Him the time. Are you willing to give God your time today? Listen, if you go to chemistry.about.com, it says that your body, if you took all the elements, and you may have heard this before, your body today is worth about $4.50 if you took all the elements and sold them separately. You're worth about $4.50. Actually, when my pastor first shared that with me, we were worth about $2.95. So inflation, you're worth more today. You could almost be equal to a Happy Meal. But what you are equal to is this pipe. This is $4 worth of pipe. You are equal to this pipe. Doesn't that feel good? It's hollow, too. I was getting, never mind. So what? What do we do? Well, you know what? This pipe can be very useful. This pipe can send water into my house that my family can drink. And being in the desert, you know, if you go without water, you're in trouble. It also sends water into my house that I can drink. And now the fact that it keeps me alive and keeps me clean, and boy, that clean is important, keeps me alive and keeps me clean, it's become more valuable than $4, right? Listen, we have value not because we're worth $4.50, but what flows through us. If we have the Holy Spirit flowing through us, then I can be a refreshment to you. I can. The Bible says that we are cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word. So if I have the Word flowing through me, if I have God's Spirit flowing through me, then I can be refreshing and a cleansing to those around me. Is that your life? Now, someone Someone might say, but you know, Pastor Randy, that pipe could also carry waste. It could carry waste from the house, and that serves a purpose. Yeah, it does. But let me just say this. Some of us, we are useful to society. We work a job. We're productive. We give something back. But that's kind of like the sewage. You know, yeah, it serves a purpose, but it doesn't refresh anyone. It doesn't cleanse anyone. It just is. And if I took the water pipe from under my house, it'd be dirty on the outside, but clean on the inside. If I took the sewer pipe that looks almost exactly alike, and I wouldn't have any value to the sewer pipe, I'd say, I don't even want that around. It's nasty. See, that's us. You either have living water flowing through you, or you're full of not living water. Listen, it's great to be useful to society. It's far more valuable to be useful to God. The Bible tells us that our righteousness is filthy rags. Filthy rags. Isaiah 64:6. The Bible also tells us in Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? God can. And God can cleanse us and use us and give us more valuable, give us more value than the parts, the sum of the parts. He changes us. Are you using God, are you allowing God to use you as a conduit of refreshing, of a cleansing? You're just filth. I know what it's like to be filth. Yesterday. I also know what it's like to be a refreshing spring, to give life to people, only because I allow God to use me. We went door-to-door witnessing yesterday. I think we led a couple of people to the Lord. I don't keep counting. I keep getting... I was so tired. But we prayed. We cried with some people. It was awesome. It was like God just kept opening up doors. It was amazing. Because we allowed ourselves to be used. Are you allowing God to use you? Because here's the thing. You could also at one time have clean water flowing through you, but then stop that water from flowing and sit stagnant for 1 year, 2 years, and all of a sudden, that's pretty nasty, isn't it? You ever go into a house that hasn't been lived in for a while, and you turn on the faucet? Equally. Not good. But, yeah, brothers and sisters, that's sometimes so often the case in Christendom. We get comfortable. We become useless only because we choose not to let it flow. Colossians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. Masters, give your bond servants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue earnestly in prayer. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. So there you go. There's some time. Give your time to prayer. And then I love this. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in chains. In other words, speak and pray that we would be conduits, that the word would come out and people would be refreshed and cleansed. And then it says this, verse 5. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside. Here you go. Redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. We can be valuable to God and to others. Many in the church say, but Pastor Randy, I just don't have the time. Really? I think you don't have the time not to. God gave you the time. He'll multiply your time. I dare you. I challenge you to outgive God. And I'm talking about finance. I'm talking about your time, your treasure, talent. Try and outgive God. He'll multiply your time. He'll give you more time to get more stuff done if you will just give to Him some. It's all His in the first place. my time, the time that I give, you can tell how valuable God is in my life by what I give him. And you can tell how precious you are by the time that I devote to serving you. Do you realize that? That's why I encourage those in service. Listen, when you go to service, you show up early. You be there before them. You show them how valuable they are. You let them have their time. You sacrifice your time. And you show them you're more valuable than I am. I'll be here waiting for you. And then what I say I'm going to do, I'm going to follow through, not for your sake or my sake, but for his sake, because it is all his in the first place. The Bible says we're to esteem others better than ourselves. When someone is more important to you, you don't keep them waiting. You wait on them and you're ready and eager when they get there. I love that. That's my heart. Brothers and sisters, now is the time. Verse 16, let's look at it again. Back to our verse here. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do you understand what the will of the Lord is? The will of the Lord is to love you and use you. There was a man, a non-Christian man. He went to the doctor. And the doctor told him, sir, I've got some bad news. You have HIV. And he was like, what? How in the world can I? And he says, well, you either used a needle or maybe you're promiscuous. He said, I haven't done either of those things. He said, well, sir, I don't know how, but you have HIV. I'm not to know how. I'm only to tell you what the test results were. Wow. That guy left that doctor's office. He was disconnected. He was disheartened. If life felt meaningless. Even the hugs of his wife felt empty because he knew soon it would be over with and it would be suffering until then. His wife made his favorite meal and it just didn't have that flavor because it was over. There was no joy. He was empty. He had no hope. Even in a crowd, he felt alone. Even in a crowd. Joy seemed pointless. He just knew from here on out it'd be doctor's appointment after doctor's appointment. So he went to his next doctor appointment and the doctor said, sir, we made a mistake. What? Oh, yeah. Evidently, the lab got your test results mixed with someone else. You're perfectly healthy. You think that guy said, oh, okay. Oh, that's pretty good. Great. See you later, doc. No, he's like, what? So I'm not going to die? No. I bet he walked out of that doctor's office and the sky was bluer and the birds sang more beautifully and even a peanut butter and jelly tasted better than anything he had ever had. Because he had a new chance of life. There was something new, fresh. He got a second chance. And brother and sister, do you realize that's the good news of Jesus Christ? We have a disease worse than HIV. It's called sin. And it's what we love. When we're not full of living water, we're full of sin. And it's nasty. God wants to give us new life, a new chance, a second chance. He wants us to be excited. Listen, if you've met Jesus Christ, are you excited? Do you realize you have a new life, a second chance? Do the birds sound beautiful? Do the hugs of your wife or your family, are they more precious than ever? Well, should be. Sad part about this guy, still going to die. He's an unbeliever. Unless someone gets a hold of him and gives him the ultimate good news, he's still going to run through this whole pattern all over again at some other time in life. It's only temporary. You see, in this life, we have temporary ups and downs. But in Jesus Christ, it's only up. As long as we keep our eyes on him. We need to share the good news. Are you a conduit of the good news? Does that flow through you? Do you refresh? Listen, leading one person to Jesus, encouraging one Christian who is struggling, doing that to one and holding them accountable, that is more valuable than anything, any job, any possession. Oh, Pastor Andy, well, chill out, man. You're going a little overboard with this Christianity stuff. Really? Jesus went to the cross and was brutalized. I don't see people saying that. We romanticize the fact that Jesus would go to the cross for us. We are excited about the fact that we can just believe in the cross and we go to heaven. But when it comes to picking up our cross and following him, that we struggle with. You know, we had the Houston people were over at the house, and we just broke out into spontaneous worship. And Christian sang a song, and he said, it just struck me. It says, "We hold on to the cross, waiting for our crown." And I'm like, wow, that's it. That's it. While we're here, redeeming the time is to hold on to the cross. And as I'm holding on to the cross, I die to myself and I serve you because you are precious and he is valuable and precious. He's everything. Is he? Is he everything to you? Well, he should be. But Pastor Randy, what will my friends think? What will my family think? What does it matter? What does God think? Right? Listen, Acts chapter 5. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to go kind of fast due to time. Acts chapter 5, verse 27 through 29. Listen to this. This is speaking of Peter and the disciples. "And when they had brought them and set them before the council, the high priest asked them, saying, 'Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine.'" In other words, they were awesome conduits flowing. I love that. He says, "You filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And that's your friends and your family. God comes first. Don't let them have you oppose what God has said to do. Galatians 1:10 says this, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." In other words, listen, I'm not here to please men, not even my own family. I'm here to please God, because that is awesome. And here's the thing. Next week, we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 3. And it says that chapter 3, verse 31 and 35, we'll look at this next week. But real quick, it says, "Then his brother and his mother came standing outside, and they sent to him calling. A multitude was sitting around him, and they said, 'Look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you.' And he answered and said to them, 'Who's my mother and my brother?' And he looked around the circle at those who sat about him, and he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my father is my mother, my brother, excuse me, my mother, my brother, my sister, and my mother.'" Sorry, getting ahead of myself. In other words, brothers and sisters, yes, your family is valuable. But if they choose to be the mucky or the fresh, if it's mucky, they won't be around. If it's fresh, those are the ones you will spend eternity with. And that's a hard saying, and trust me, Jesus got a lot of flack for it, but it's a fact. Eternity is real. And we must decide. And we must choose today. Today, now is the time to choose to be a conduit of life. Because the opposite is not very savory. Verse 16, let's look at it again in context as we get ready to close. Redeeming the time, that's in other words, giving value to the time that you have, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And the will of the Lord is that he wants to use you to bless others and to bring glory to him. And then it says this, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. See, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be filled of garbage and filth. Be filled with clean water, flowing and refreshing. Romans chapter 13, verse 12 says this, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." You gotta love that. You gotta love that. We've been given a second chance. Now, maybe you're here today and you've never experienced that freedom of a second chance. God's calling you. God's calling. It's not a coincidence that you're here. You're here because God has a divine appointment and He's saying, listen, you are precious to me. So precious that I send my Son to be that conduit of that flow of blood that only by the shedding of blood can there be any remission of sin. He gave you time. He created you. He knitted you together in your mother's womb. And He gave you an allotted number of days so that you would use them for His glory, not so that we could spend it on ourselves selfishly. Now, you can do that, but listen, you will get what you put in. The Lord loves you. He loves me. He loves us. He has a plan to use us. He has a plan to refresh others. He wants to use us for useful conduit. And now is the time. Today is the day. Today is the day you can make a change. Maybe you're stagnant. You feel like nothing's moving. Well, start. Open that valve. Let the flow of God's word start flowing through you. It's awesome. Once you have it, so refreshing. Or continue to be the other. We get to choose. God is such a gentleman. But today He's knocking on your heart. And He's desiring for you to be useful to the Master. Because He has a plan for you. Now is the time. Let's pray. Father, forgive me for the times, Lord, that You don't have the majority of my day. You don't even have the prime spots of my day. But Father, I thank You that there's always forgiveness. There's always renewal. You're always willing, Lord, to wash us clean. To wash us clean. God, this life is so dirty, Lord. And we are sheep and we get it all caught up in our wool. And Lord, there's leaves and sticks and mud. And Lord, You come along and You wash us clean because You love us. You're the good shepherd. Father, I want to be a refreshing blessing. I want to speak Your word and Lord, have Your word wash my life clean. As I do blow it, Lord. Lord, You do. Your mercies and grace are new every single day. Oh, my Lord, so awesome to be loved by You and to love You back. You already love us. You loved me when I was yet a sinner. Horrible, filthy, disgusting. And You cleaned me up on the inside. I feel so good, Lord. Father, deal with the dark recesses of my heart. Search me and see if there be any wicked way in me, Lord. And for my brothers and sisters here this morning, I pray, Lord, that You be moving upon their hearts. And Lord, if there is someone here this morning that has never felt that cleansing, that has never had the weight of their sin removed as far as the east is from the west by the blood and the cross of Jesus Christ, that's the only way. Because we cannot be good enough. There's no way. Impossible. I pray if there's anyone here, if that's you, if you've never accepted Christ, you've never said, I want to be washed clean. I'm so tired of feeling alone and empty. I'm so tired of dragging these sins along with me. And they're heavy. They're weighty. If you want to get rid of that, give the burden. He says, cast your cares upon me. You can call out to Jesus right now. If that's you, would you please raise your hand and signify, praise the Lord. Awesome. Anyone else? God bless you back there. I see your hand way up high. I love that. Open proclamation. Anyone else? Listen, don't worry about, I see you in the back over there. Beautiful. Beautiful. Don't worry about what the person says to the right or the left. That's not important. What's important is, are you pleasing God? Is he calling your name? Do you feel that whisper in your heart? You know, you know, you know. Why fight? He's a good God. He's a beautiful master, a savior, Lord. Anyone else want to surrender to the cross, the grace of Jesus Christ? Anyone else? That's awesome. Is there anyone here, believer, that you've become stagnant? You know you've accepted the Lord, but you're not moving. It's stale. You're living for yourself. All your time is soaked up in you, and you're ready today. Now is the time to then turn your life back to Him or be refreshed or devote more of it. If that's you, would you please raise your hand? Praise the Lord. Awesome. Beautiful. Anyone else? I see you in the back. Awesome. You know, it takes a lot to be honest with ourselves. It takes a lot to assess. It takes a lot to recognize. Oh, God bless you. Awesome. Awesome right there. I see your hand too, sir. Awesome. Back there. Beautiful. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? You want to be that conduit of grace, of the Word of God. You want to share with others. You want to wash and refresh those around you. You want to cry out to those and say, listen, Jesus is so good. Anyone else want that boldness? Anyone else? Father, for those who raised their hand and said, I need Jesus for the first time. I need my sins washed away. I need to be right, and I can only have it through the cross and only by the blood of Christ, and only through that sacrifice have my sins been paid for. Tetelestai, paid in full. For the three that raised their hand, Lord, praise you, God. And I pray that these are not emotional responses, but true conversions. And only you know that. And only they know that they're going to now live for you. And we're going to pray with them in a moment. And Father, for those of you who are believers and you recognize that you've been controlling your time and not giving what God deserves back to Him, I pray that this is a change for you, for the better and for the good and for good until the Lord returns. And that may be very, very soon. Who knows? And so, church, let's stand.